Good evening to all our admirable friends out there. This is Carol.
Hello, and this is Buddy.
And we're happy to have you with us this evening. I actually, when I was driving home from work tonight, I think I said to you, you said, how was your day? And I said, it was good. I said, but I'm really looking forward to being with my admirable friends this evening.
Yes.
So I really did say that, and I am grateful. I think I'm going to start out with my grateful.
Go right ahead.
My gratitude tonight is for admirable friends. I looked forward to coming home tonight and being here with all of our admirable friends, and I know that I was grateful for them after last Tuesday night, and also Thursday night's admirable friends that we have down here in Fort Worth. That was, we had a lively conversation, and that stayed with me.
That was an unbelievable night last Thursday.
It was. But we can talk about that in a little bit. Do you want to say what your gratitude is?
I guess I'm grateful tonight for my family. I'm grateful because of the support. I know they're out there. I've got, we have our children out there, three boys. And I know my mom is listening. She said she was going to listen. And my stepdad, Al, is listening. So I'm really grateful to have their support. Maybe that's five listeners we have. No, I'm just kidding. We know we have more. And I, like you, are very grateful for the admirable friends that we've started to establish.
Absolutely.
It's wonderful.
It's sort of, I kind of equate it to when you see bicycle riders that draft off of each other. It's that kind of feeling that I feel. It's that drafting off of these admirable friends that we're surrounding ourselves with. And just from last week's phone-in conversations, Thursday night's discussion down at the Fort Worth Center, and then again tonight, I just, I feel that energy, that drafting that I know. It just kind of makes it easier and lighter, and I try a little bit harder.
Well, for the new callers, let's kind of just recap what Admirable Friends is about.
Okay, go ahead.
And it's kind of a group where we can talk honestly and openly. We're all on a similar journey in this group. We're all heading towards what we call reliable happiness, which is to us more of an inner quality of happiness. Not necessarily in contrast with an external happiness of things that happen during the day, but our response to all our challenges and how well our inner qualities are built defines us as admirable friends. And that road is a challenge, and it's best done with others.
Absolutely.
We both tried it alone, and it's very difficult. So those of you out there that are looking for that inner quality, oftentimes we hear finding ourselves or being happy with our inner self. We're trying to put some actual conversation to what that means. How does one become happy with themselves, Carol?
Well, actually, what we're trying to do is we're trying to shift the conversation.
Okay.
Is what we're doing. And we're trying to bring it to more inner qualities that we display and exhibit towards others.
And what are we shifting it from?
Well, very outward, superficial, I think you call it donut conversation, I think.
Well, you better tell our listeners what donut conversation is.
No, you can tell them.
Especially if Mary Ellen's listening out there in Arizona. She knows what donuts are.
I think she invented the donut conversation when everybody stands around and looks at a dozen donuts. And that's
I like the chocolate. I like this. I like that. I don't like that.
I hate maple.
Yeah,
you know,
maple. So
I like the blueberry ones.
And some of that conversation is good, but there is a deeper yearning in us, and that's what we're going to talk about tonight. Is that this whole subject of authenticity is an exciting subject?
It is. It is.
In order to relate to authenticity, what we're doing now is we're throwing in the opposite, and what we're throwing in is the opposite, which is basically autopilot.
And
we'll talk a little bit
but
about that.
Can I just interrupt you for a second? What I'd like you to do first is though. If there's new listeners out there, which I'm thinking there are, could you just go over what we talked about last week, maybe?
Yeah, and
just
let me recap that, and I'll try to do. Last week was a great show.
We got a lot of feedback on goodwill. I think people connect with goodwill a lot.
And not just during the show, but after the show.
Absolutely.
Goodwill is a mind quality that we worked on. We defined it as an unlimited attitude. So you give goodwill to all. But we didn't confuse it with loving everybody or liking everybody. It was a quality that was, when we wish goodwill to others, we really wish that they find the causes and act upon those to find reliable happiness. So it's not goodwill meaning I love everybody.
Yeah.
It means there can actually be, when we think about wishing everyone well and wishing that they find the causes to true happiness, we can even find a way to pass goodwill on to people that have hurt us.
Absolutely.
In our experience.
Absolutely.
But so there are no limits with goodwill. And what it does is open our minds up. By wishing goodwill, it flips us from wanting something from the world to just, it's a gift. It's a gift. It's a wish of goodwill for others and ourselves. So it immediately is kind of like an opposite for any kind of ill will, bad feelings we have towards others, towards ourselves.
Well, sure. And I think what we were talking about is when you're giving goodwill and you're opening your heart and giving out, it's hard to hold on to animosity and a grudge at the same time. You can't do both.
Yes.
So that gratitude, that feeling of gratitude is really key. And I think also, I think last week you said it was a natural antidote to anger and hostility. And I think that's the case. I think once you start, if you got up in the morning or periodically, if you just gave a shout out to gratitude and said, this is what I'm grateful for, it just opens up your heart. And it's kind of a natural thing.
Well, gratitude really works in the generosity, and it's all tied together with goodwill, because you're generous when you pass on goodwill, especially with an unlimited attitude towards all. The other thing we brought up, and I want to just kind of close on the goodwill with that, it was strategic. And you kind of left that up to me to describe, but I think when we got done with it, you really saw the strategic side of goodwill. And what we did was we talked about the Queen Malika story. Basically, it's a respect. I think somebody used that word. It was a respect when we think other people, you know, first of all, we all, when we reflect on it, realize that we care most about ourselves. It's kind of a reality that it's a self-preservation. And mm-hmm. I don't mean to an extent of a narcissist, but we do look after number one. When we realize that others are looking after number one as well, strategically, it's in our best interest to respect that. Because if we don't respect that they're looking after number one, anything we do to harm them is going to come back and hurt us.
Yes.
So, you know, you really have to look at this and look at it as a strategy as well as a good wish. It's something that's in your better interest to wish goodwill, non-harming to others.
No, I think it's key. And like I said, we got a lot of feedback after the show and just in general of people saying how much they practice goodwill and how much that's a real part of their everyday life.
Oh, they do it all the time.
But you know what I thought was really kind of interesting? I think what some took away from it last week was that offering goodwill to somebody else doesn't mean you have to be in love with them. You have to be a friend with them. You can offer goodwill and not have any kind of relationship to somebody.
Right. When we define it as wishing that person finds the causes and acts upon those causes for true happiness, why wouldn't we? Why wouldn't we want everybody to be happy? It's so simple a concept, but again, when we get caught in the challenges of day and day, when attacks come our way or people treat other people, it's undoubtedly a challenge, and that's what brings us together here, to talk about ways that we can think about these issues during the day. How do we shift that conversation from that, oh, that guy's driving me crazy, to, you know, I don't really know what he's going through. I don't know what problems he's having at home. I wish him the best. Mm-hmm. It's that simple, isn't it?
It is. It is. Okay. It sounds so simple, but that's still something we need to practice. So.
Well, it sounds simple in concept. The real key is recognizing when we're in that conversation with that committee members of our minds, talking these things, and just to think about what we're saying to ourselves. And it can be quite negative towards that other person. And there's no good going to come out of it.
Absolutely.
And worse yet, you're liable to take that conversation from your head and share it with your friend, and bring all more suffering to your
family. Oh, it's just compounding, isn't it?
You're just compounding it. So the name of the game is to learn the skills to truncate that kind of conversation. And that's the shifting the conversation. And let's shift from goodwill to autopilot and authenticity. And I'm going to turn it over to you because I want you to tell me about your autopilot, Carol.
Oh, I thought you were going to ask me about my authenticity.
We'll
See,
get
look
to
at
that.
That.
We'll get
look
to
at
that.
That. Look at that.
Tell me about autopilot.
My autopilot. Gosh. Well.
Some examples. In first person. And by the way, reminding our callers, when you do call in, first person experiences is best.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, I can recall driving down the street and getting from point A to point B and not remembering how I got to point B. Like all of a sudden I get to the like four-way stop and I thought, I just don't remember anything that just happened for the last 2 miles. How scary is that?
That's, and you might want to kind of let our listeners know that you're not an alcoholic or, you know, you weren't drunk when that happened, right?
Clearly I wasn't.
That was a sound mind.
Sound mind and still on autopilot, which is scary. But stuff like that. You know, I do think, I find that when I'm on autopilot, like I'll misplace my keys maybe, or I'll put something down and say, where did I put it? All of that, I think, are examples in my world of autopilot because I'm not aware
right.
of what I'm doing when I'm doing it.
That's a good definition.
So clearly, you know, I think the other day, I think I said to you, I put my iPad down, I can't remember where it is.
Right.
And then I remember my parents, whether it's my mom or my dad, saying, retrace your steps.
Retrace your steps.
Of my parents used to say, it doesn't just get up and walk away. So right. I couldn't remember which.
Well,
so,
my mom used to get me out of autopilot because she used to say, pray to St. Anthony.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And it all worked all the time because that's the interrupt that made you stop on that autopilot mode and kind of think about, well, when did I retrace my steps?
So I think when you do need that interrupt, you need something to stop you from going off to the races, clearly.
Well, my autopilot is a chocolate autopilot. When I see chocolate or I smell chocolate, honey, I go on autopilot. I really do. I have no control. I have to admit it.
Wow.
Chocolate drives me, and I just go, and I look afterwards and say, what did you just do? You just ate two or three pieces of chocolate.
It's very seductive. Do you think it's the sugar or the chocolate?
I think it's because I'm not paying attention to the cause and the effect of my actions.
But a little bit of chocolate is good, isn't it?
Sure it is. It's not the little bit I'm talking about. Okay. It's the second and third. It's not the trip around the barn. It's the second and third trip around it.
I gotcha.
So there's our autopilot. I'm sure we all can relate to autopilot. And it's interesting why that's the opposite of something like authenticity. And hopefully we can put some definition behind authenticity so you can see why we chose the word autopilot as the opposite mind state, what we would call the committee members. We've got the good guy and we've got the bad guy. The bad guy is the autopilot. The good guy is the authentic guy, authentic girl. So when we're talking about authenticity, there's really two kinds of authenticity. We're going to kind of discern a little bit. And authenticity, the term authenticity is synonymous with truth. So when we think of authenticity, let's use the word truth. And then when we think of truth, we think of two kinds of truths. We have the truths of what we hear, said, and have done. And let's call that the outer world of truth, right?
Okay.
And then we have true to ourself, the inner world of truth.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like truth to determination, truth of will, okay? And in particular, when you think of authenticity, it's more related to the inner truth, that word.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
When somebody doesn't tell the truth outwardly, that isn't, I'm not being authentic, that's a lie.
Well,
right?
Yeah, it is.
He lied, he didn't tell the truth. When we talk about wanting to be authentic, we're talking about being true to ourselves. So let's try to shift the conversation today to that inner truth that we're talking about. Because I'll tell you why. And I'm going to be somewhat discriminating here. I'm going to suggest that one of the tickets to being an admirable friend is that you tell the truth on the outer issues. In other words, lying is kind of a prerequisite to being is a discount to being an admirable friend, lying on other stuff.
That's a deal breaker.
It is. I mean, if you think of, you know, I was doing some research on this week, and I was looking at Alcoholics Anonymous.
Uh-huh.
And the ticket to the whole Alcoholics Anonymous network is truth. Mm-hmm. They make that a prerequisite, an absolute prerequisite for skillful means to get rid of the compulsion of an alcoholic.
Mm-hmm.
They must tell the truth.
Right.
So why can't we say as admirable friends, on the outer truths, we must tell the truth? Because if you think about it, how could we ever be true to ourselves internally?
Sure.
If we can't tell the truth in the outer, the small stuff.
I know exactly what you're saying. Actually, authenticity is what started me on this journey to reliable happiness.
Oh, tell us about that.
I can, about maybe 8 years ago, I can tell you exactly where I was standing and just saying to myself, I just want to lead a more authentic life. And I think it was... I just felt like I was at the whim of maybe others, you know, when you're kind of, you just don't stand up for your inner self. Do you know what I'm saying? That inner quality that you know that you have, but you compromise it because you're not true to yourself.
Well,
it's that slowly that I felt like I was diluting, do you know what I mean? Dumbing down or not being honest with myself. And
well, that
really
conversation you're having in your head,
yeah,
you're saying you weren't being honest with yourself.
Absolutely not. And I just had enough. I just said, there's got to be something more than this. There's got to be more than this this self-talk that's kind of giving yourself the...
Well, that's why we have the definition of authenticity is the honest effort to be aware of the true intentions preceding our actions, words, and thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a call to really understand the intention of why we're doing something. So in other words, if I'm going to eat the chocolate,
right,
I'm going to be honest about that was my, I had full intention to do that, and I still did it. And see, if I wasn't honest about that intention, I'd have no chance of ever breaking that habit. If I was in denial,
mm-hmm,
and I wasn't true about the intention behind eating the chocolate,
right,
I'd rationalize it. I like my chocolate, or I do this, or I do that. I'd never be at a point where I could interrupt that habit and begin fixing it.
That's true.
So by being honest with ourselves, and again, the reason why it's hard to be honest with yourself is because we have this feeling that we've let ourselves down. So it's really hard to do this because we blame ourselves.
Oh, sure. The self-shame is really...
The shame is unbelievable.
Yeah.
If we're really true and honest with ourselves, we feel really lousy about this. And that's why the whole skill of learning to be honest and trying to separate the action from our personal sense of self is really the way to really go down this road of being honest with our intentions.
But I do find that when I am true to myself, whether it's a thought, word, or action, that it's very empowering.
Oh, yeah.
And very liberating.
Oh, yeah. I can see it in your eyes. I wish the radio audience could see that.
Yeah, I do. And I want more of it.
Easy now.
Well, I want to cultivate more of it.
Yeah.
But you know, let me go back before I forget. You were talking about being truthful in friends. Friends being truthful and being truthful.
That's a ticket to being an admirable friend.
It is. But you know what? I think we all... And maybe we can hear from some of our callers too, but I think we often say we'll go to certain friends. How many times, maybe you've heard this, how many times you go to somebody and you say to yourself, I know they'll tell me the truth. They're straight shooter. They'll be honest
with
me. So you know instinctively who's going to be honest with you, not in a hurtful way, but in a very nurturing and honest way. Well, or else why would you go with them or why would you seek out their counsel? So automatically, you know who an admirable friend is on the truth front because you're saying, I'm going to ask so-and-so. They always tell me the truth.
Yes. Now shifting back to that inner quality, again, of being truthful. When I have practiced with my true intentions behind my actions, and I've kind of gutted it out,
mm-hmm,
and say, why are you doing what you're doing, buddy? Pay attention. What I start to realize is that there were past actions that I did that led me to doing this. It's a habit, okay? It's not anything that I've done wrong. It's a habit that I absorbed in the past from conditions. So in a way, I look at things kind of as a free pass because I have a moment now to change those habits when I'm open and honest with it.
Absolutely. There's
so when I look at the intention behind it, I start to see by slowing down, because intention, being intentional causes us to slow down, because what we're asking ourselves to do is look at our actions before we do them.
Absolutely.
So when we look at our actions before we do them, we say, why? What's the cause and the effect of my action? Why am I doing what I'm doing? And that answer why, or that question why, has driven me to a better understanding that my past actions have led me to some of these unskillful habits that I have now. And it's very liberating because I see and I understand. And then I realize in that moment of time and slice that I can shift the conversation and come up with a better solution. All of this happens when you slow down.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Right. But you can train that habit. I mean, it's not difficult.
No, and you can do this without, like, you don't need meditation to do this kind of thing.
No, because, you know, you trained yourself to look both ways before you crossed the street, didn't you?
That's because you're about to get killed and your life's a threat. The real trick is, you know, shifting that thing, not when you're about to get hit by a car, it's when you're about to eat a donut.
Right.
Different challenge.
But, you know, I mean, you could have had a close call crossing the street, but you could have, like, put your foot in your mouth and said, boy, that was really,
right.
I should have thought about that before I said it.
But you're right. We have the human capacity to slow down every moment, observe our choices, and be intentional about our choices. The difficult thing is the choices we like. We almost develop this propensity to say, self-righteous propensity to say, I just like being this way.
Well, it's sort of the easier path. I mean,
well, there you go again, beating yourself up saying it's easy.
Well,
I'm saying it happened because it happened in the past.
Yeah.
You ate the donuts in the past. You're going to eat them again until you start paying attention and be honest about it. And it's really not beating yourself up. It's saying, I just behaved this way in the past. And I really want to change my behavior.
So you could be aware of hitting that reset button, said, I know I ate it. Let's try this again.
But it's being sure that you're doing it before you're doing it. See, what happens is a lot of times we think we're being intentional, but we're actually looking through a rearview mirror because we already took a bite of the donut. And we say, I shouldn't have done that. Well, you did it. The thing about being true to your intentions is being there before it happens. Let's just let that resonate for a little bit. Being there before it happens. That's what intention is about. It's that momentum, that energy that's leading us into decision-making and choices without us being aware. And that's why we came up with the word autopilot.
Yeah.
Because that is the opposite. I'm either aware of what I'm doing or I'm not aware. There's no in-between here. And I'm aware of it before I do it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, all of this takes effort on our part to be aware of those intentions.
Mm-hmm.
So the very call when you said back then, I want to be authentic. Isn't that what you were saying? I really want to be authentic. I want to be internally true to myself. Right? Or did true to yourself meaning something else?
No, just that, true to myself. But I wanted to experience it, the real experience, not the rearview mirror experience, you know. I wanted the intention. I want to see the intention before it happens so that I can get the full, you know, experience of it.
And the freedom you feel is that freedom of choice. That's what I feel. Okay, when I may make that poor choice 9 times, but that one choice, that time that I was there for it, and I make the better choice, it's like the choo-choo train at that point. It's like, oh, I can do this.
Yeah.
You know, I can be aware of my actions before I do them and decide differently. And again, paying attention to that conversation in your head is where it's all at, because there's people up there. There's
some discussion board members going on. That, yeah, there's a little power struggle going on, isn't there, between the autopilot and the authenticity guy. And
there's more autopilots than there are authenticity board members. And that's what I'm saying. It's because you behaved yourself into this that you have so many autopilot board members going and telling you, go do it, buddy, go ahead. No, it doesn't matter. You deserve the chocolate or whatever the bad habit is. Go, buddy, go for it. And see, that's happening all the time, and we have to interrupt that conversation. And of course, we got to pick our battles, because if we went out all day and tried to fix every one of these problems that we're honestly dealing with.
Sure.
Because honestly speaking, I've got a host of problems. And you know, I couldn't take them all on. I've got to pick my battles and begin to work with them. Remember I told you that this morning? I said, you got to decide what areas and what fronts you're really going to work on.
Because it can be overwhelming. Oh. I mean, it's not like I've got to work. It's not a...
It would be a...
And it's like the tortoise and the hare. Slow and steady wins the race. If you chip away at it, you're going to see the fruits of your labor for sure.
So I think we're pretty much defined. There's a handout for those that visit the bbs.com Admirable Friends website /Admirable Friends. There's a handout that gives more definition, more description. And I just want to close on the definition of power authenticity here before we take a break and before we take our callers. And the power is in witnessing that inner calm that accompanies truth and honesty.
But truth makes reconciliation and forgiveness possible too. So that's the power of authenticity.
Yep. And it develops qualities of the heart that liberate us from basic obstructions of fear, hatred, and greed.
I love that one the most. That's the one that I experience. The liberation, that liberates the heart from the basic obstructions.
But we're talking about skills, life skills. Yeah. And we're talking about the skill to building authenticity. And again, for our callers or listeners who intend to call and share an experience, a first-person experience, when are we being true to ourselves? When are we watching our intentions? When are we on autopilot? And let's hear some success stories of when we caught ourselves beforehand and made those choices.
Oh, I know they're out there. I know there's successes. So that'd be great.
So I'd like to... take a 1 minute break and come back to our audience and open up the lines for calls. Does that sound all right?
Sounds great. Looking forward to it.
Okay, let's take a 1 minute break.
This is Mark Marshall, and I'm proud to say that my music is being played here on the 24-hour music channel at bbsradio.com, where there's anything but the mainstream, and they truly do love independent music. You can find out more about me at markmarshall.com, and stay tuned to BBS Radio.
With Admirable Friends with Carol and Buddy, and we understand there's a caller on the line, and it's Tom. So welcome, Tom, to Admirable Friends.
Hello, Tom.
Hey, Buddy. Carol, this is Tom from New Hampshire.
Oh, hey, Tom. Oh, Tom from New Hampshire. I think I know which Tom this is.
Yeah. First of all, grateful for you guys being out there. You're doing a great job with the show.
Thanks, Tom.
A couple of things came to mind listening the first half. First off, when I feel a pretty honest person, but the times when I've told lies, the amount of stress that brings to my life and trying to keep everything straight, must be all, you know, we talked about stress in some of the earlier meetings, and it's also, lives are also stressful for the people you talk to. I know when I deal with people, there's some people I know that that I feel don't always tell the truth, and it's very stressful for me to try and figure out what's authentic and what's not with those people. So kind of stress goes both ways. So telling the truth can bring you a calmness in your life. And being around those admirable friends who are also trying to tell the truth, doing their best to be authentic, can bring calmness and purpose to your life. So I think that's the first thing I wanted to say. And then the second is that you talked about choices that we make and being mindful of choices. And I know I'm in the fitness industry, and people ask me, what's the best way to get fit? And I tell them, well, do the things that fit people do. So every time you have a choice, whether it's, taking the stairs or the elevator or eating the healthy food or not so healthy food, there's choices throughout your whole day. And I think being authentic is understanding what the choices are and acting on them mindfully. So I'd be interested to hear what your thoughts on this.
Thanks, Tom.
That's the first part I'm gonna address was okay. Absolutely brilliant, because I couldn't agree more with Tom that the lie, whether it's the giver or the receiver, is extremely stressful. That does bring on a lot of stress.
Yeah.
And why wouldn't you want to divest yourself of that stress? You know, if it's a simple matter of just kind of.
The trick is being aware of it.
It is.
And, he sounds like he's really aware of it.
He is. It does sound that way.
And at the same time, that's this ticket to letting go of it.
Absolutely. I can't remember what's the saying. In order to be a good liar, you have to have a good memory or something like that. Is that the phrase? I mean.
Well, I don't know if it's true, but I think that's the phrase.
But that takes an incredible amount of work. Why would you want to work that hard? Just tell the truth and be done with it.
Be done with it.
I do remember saying to the kids growing up, if you do, just tell me the truth. That's all I ask.
I'd like to take the second part of this call because in his Tom, in his usual simple way, said what I took 3 minutes to say and said it in 20 seconds.
Okay.
As I was trying to define authentic behavior to you, I was talking about paying attention to intention, really slowing down. And all Tom basically said was, be aware of your choices. Isn't that simple?
It is.
Be aware of your choices.
It does. It.
In just a few words, Tom summed it up for all of our listening audience. In fact, I'm going to invite him on as a guest and interview him one of these
days. That would be great.
So I can
Tom,
do less
talking. Tom, get ready.
I love people that say little that mean a lot. Are you still with us, Tom?
I still am. I'm listening to you, and I appreciate that. And I think Carol hit on, too, something else I wanted to bring up, and Carol hit it when she said the energy that it takes to not be truthful. I don't have that amount of energy.
But that's a choice in itself for you, Tom, isn't it? Isn't that a choice?
Yeah, it is. It is.
It's a choice that says, I'd rather be stressless than full of stress. And
right.
I'm going to pay attention to what makes me stressful, and lying makes me stressful.
Absolutely.
That's just logic.
And wouldn't you rather put your energies into something much more liberating and empowering than lying? You know, that's not going to do anybody any good. It harms the giver and the receiver.
Tom, it's amazing how much of this is all common sense, isn't it?
Absolutely. I think you guys have done a great job of putting it together and putting some structure to that, and guidance to the common sense. So I'll keep up the great work, and I'll hang up, let somebody else have a chance, and thank you very much for taking my call.
And thank
we
you for calling,
it, Tom.
Tom.
Thank
appreciate
you so much.
You.
Bye-bye.
It's practical bye-bye. Stuff. That's the word that comes up, practical.
Yeah. It's practical, but I really appreciate, and I take as recognizing that that's what we are trying to do, Carol, is put some structure to this and give a forum for people to talk about it. This is not rocket science.
No, people do it every day.
Right, but they, like you say, they're not talking about this stuff. We need support to talk to others. That's what we really need to make these changes. That's what he's really saying to us. Thank you for being there so we can talk about this. So he doesn't think he's going crazy because he admits that there's a lot of people lying out there. So how do you not become like them?
Well, by surrounding yourself with admirable friends as a support system.
There you go.
Yeah, that they're on the same road and saying, you know, you're doing a great job. You're making good choices. Yes, we're all going to make that little slip and stumble every once in a while, but we're on the right path. I mean, this practical and very simple approach to reliable happiness, it's stuff we already know inherently inside.
I mean, but the ticket is being humble enough to say, I need the help of others. I know that was it for me. My biggest turnaround was the humility to say, I can't do this alone. I need help from others on a similar path than me. Mm-hmm. And that also means that I have to choose my friends wisely.
Absolutely.
You know? So that's all part of the support. And the actual choices of being authentic or listening to the committee members in our head is not a difficult proposition. It just requires motivation, like Tom says. I don't want to do things to mess me stressful. So if he doesn't want to do it, I don't want to do it, you don't want to do it. Hopefully there's more listeners out there that say, you know, these people are living the way I want to live too.
Right.
I don't want all the stress in my life. I want to live longer. I want to be happier. I want to love, be loved.
Right.
Basic.
I just...
There's just so many things out there to take you off that path all day long.
There is.
If we're truly honest.
There is. I am.
And all it takes is the support of others on the same path and some structure to it, which I appreciate, Tom, you giving us that vote of confidence, because that's kind of what I'm trying to do is put some structure to it. And then sit back and allow friends to talk. Remember last Thursday, Carol, the conversation? I don't know who was it that started it. Yes, I do. It started about a conversation where somebody was in the passing lane and not moving out of that first lane.
Right. And we kind of labeled that committee member Mr. Self-Righteous. And then, of course, I jumped right in and said, oh, I'm intimately aware with Mr. Self-Righteous because, you know, I...
But just one little statement of honesty from one of our group.
And the floodgate opened.
The floodgate
everybody,
opened.
Everybody was chiming in and giving their little stories about their self-righteous little... you know, conversation they have in their head and their experiences and, you know, and then we kind of delved a little bit deeper. So.
Well, we've got a caller on line one.
Oh, nice.
Oh, it's Ian. Ian. Welcome
Ian,
to Admirable
Friends. Buddy. Hi, Carol.
Hi, Ian.
Thank you for doing this evening. It's really informative as usual.
Thanks, Ian.
I wanted to talk about in my job. I am working very much with a crowd that is very different to me culturally. Very into hunting, big meat eaters, and lots of macho stuff. And some of the choices that I've made in my recent life are being a vegetarian and cutting out alcohol, and both of these things don't really fit in this world, business world. At least I perceive them not to be. And there would be times when I would just to fit in with the crowd, I would break those commitments to myself. So in that sense, I was being inauthentic. And but what I found recently that I've actually made a switch, and I make the choice to stick to those commitments in those situations, and I certainly see the stress level has gone down. In fact, my worrying about what people think of me was unfounded, because people accept me not eating meat, and it creates a little bit of a conversation. They might have a little joke about it, but it's not like I'm being kicked out, and it's not like it's affecting my business. So it's a big weight off my shoulders to follow my authentic self in that situation. So I just wanted to share that particular success I've had with authenticity.
Yes, that is a great example.
Ian. That is a great example. I really enjoyed hearing that one from you.
He tells us when he was not on autopilot or not acting authentically. Not being true to himself,
and then all of a sudden
he becomes true, and then he comes true to himself, and he sees and witnesses the difference in the feeling, and Ian, you share that with everybody here, and it puts a smile on our face. I know if any listeners listening, that's just terrific that you're able to witness that and see that choice, because doesn't that give you encouragement to be more living that way? Ian, you still with us? I guess he hung up. But it's like the choo-choo train. I think I can. I think I can. I start making choices like this. And oh, wow. Because you don't know what's on the other side. That was a big choice for Ian to make.
It was. And we were talking about Thursday night. There was a girl there. And she was talking about fear, how fear rules that. And I think that's part of leading an authentic life. I think the fear of not being accepted, you know, will these people still like me, you know, so I have to morph into this person that's maybe a little bit different than what I want to be, but it's still within my comfort zone. So I'm willing to go out there just a little bit and flirt with it and kind of do it, but it really doesn't feel good.
Yeah.
And then you feel bad afterwards when you do it because you know that's not who you are. You kind of dummy down or, you know, diluted who you were in order to, you know, meet the expectation or play the game.
Yeah.
And I think that's the, I know that I've done it more than once, and I really don't like the way I am. I don't like feeling that way or being that way. And I do find the more authentic choices reap the better benefits.
Am I still on?
Yes, you are.
You are.
Buddy.
Yes, sir.
Buddy, can you hear me?
We can, Ian.
Yeah. I was speaking earlier and I'd accidentally pressed mute.
I hope you enjoyed the conversation.
Oh, yes. Yes, yes, I did. It was <it's> right up. I just wanted to mention that something else happened as well when I started doing this. I actually started to find admirable qualities in people that I thought I wouldn't find, because of my authenticity, they would open up on things that maybe they wouldn't have done, and they were also putting on an act to a certain extent. So
you opened the floodgates.
To see those admirable qualities come out in people.
Wow!
That's
a great insight.
What a great insight! Thank
God. So when you start stepping out and portraying an admirable quality.
It not only made him feel free, it opened up others, which basically says that, you know, the crowd, if you act right, we can all be that way.
Yeah.
It brought the best in of others, and it brought admirable qualities that he otherwise wouldn't have known. He's assuming. Right? That's a great story and a great understanding.
But when you think about it, you know, it's just...
How'd that make you feel, Ian?
Oh, it's great. Each time that I notice that kind of thing, it really reinforces the practice of paying attention.
Absolutely. Wow.
How nice for that other person that was a gift,
right,
that they could be themselves or make a declaration of authenticity.
It's infectious in both ways. Both ways. Lying is infectious and so is being authentic. But it takes one person to step out and you don't know who's admirable. He found admirable qualities right there. Guys in a hunting suit with a big knife.
Well, everybody's got admirable qualities. It's just the opportunity.
Absolutely,
the slowing down and giving it that awareness in order to perform.
Well, that's a great story, and thank you. Thank you very much, and appreciate you sharing that.
Well, thank you guys for all you do. I'm going to hang up now.
Okay, take care of yourself.
But I think going back to what I was saying previously about fear, you know, that fearful kind of thing that really puts that weight on us, that puts that yoke around our neck and keeps us from being authentic.
Yeah.
I think there's fear, there's shame. There's probably a whole lot of conflicted emotions that
get in our way.
They sure do.
So it's sometimes, I guess, good to confront those issues. Do you find that that's good to confront those issues?
I do. I really do. I know that fear, there was a few fearful things that I was fearful of, gosh, I think in the last few years, that I found that when I just kind of met it head on the other side was just almost like a laugh. You know, it's like, oh, I can't believe that I was so afraid of doing this. And there was nothing unfounded. And it was absolutely a liberating.
A boogeyman in the closet.
Huh?
Like you were a kid, a boogeyman in the closet?
Yeah, I mean, it's just like, you know, when you're afraid of, little kid's afraid of monsters, and you flip on the light and you say, come here, let's look under the bed, and there's nothing there. And it's like, yeah. You know.
So you bring up a good point. What we have to always be aware of is what's masking that authenticity. What's in our way?
I don't think it's bad to reflect on that, do you?
Not at all. Not at all.
I mean, you say we have to slow down and get some sort of...
grip on intention.
Yeah.
You're saying, what's in the way of my intention? What's
sure.
in the way of me seeing that intention?
Absolutely.
And you're right, because it's kind of a diversion. It's almost like your head has been taken over by this, you know, fearful committee member, let's call it that.
Right.
And that fearful committee member is demanding all your attention, and it's not there for you to look at your three other choices.
No, because it's paralyzing me from doing what I really
want to do. And what's worse yet is if it happens and propagates itself, you look back and you start feeling guilty because you didn't do what you wanted to do.
Right. There's the regret or the...
whole bunch of other emotions
sure,
that come from just
that,
not making that simple choice.
Absolutely. And then it all ties back to not being authentic. You know, if I could only do this, and why can't I do that? And
yeah. I just think we have to be careful when we say we're not being authentic, that we really understand that it's not our fault per se.
No.
It's not that we're bad people.
No.
It's just that we're behaved. That fear is something you've had in other parts of your life. I've had in my life. We just got to see through it. Like you said, open up the closet, find out the boogeyman's not there. Make that choice one time. Make it twice. Make it three times. And prove to ourselves that we are liberated and we can make these choices. And just listening to those stories really makes you feel good, doesn't it?
Oh, it does. That story with... Ian and the, you know, kind of being authentic, making that kind of declaration, that self-declaration that allowed somebody else to make that self-declaration. That's almost like a pay it forward, so to speak, of authenticity.
You know, we dust under the rug all of these little lies that take place. Tom, as you know, when we were young, Tom and I were in business up in New Hampshire together in the computer business. And, the pursuit of, and we took the company public and we were on a big ride, but you know, you look back and you realize there are a lot of compromises that you made,
mm-hmm.
you know, a lot of compromises, and you start behaving that way and you say, well, if we don't tell the customer everything, you know, and the little things, they end up coming back and haunting you. All those habits that you've made, and you get to a point where you accept it. I mean, if you actually listen to radio or to television, you see the promises that are being made, whether it's skin care or diets that you can lose, all these things. It's mind-boggling, isn't it, to see the representations?
It is. It is very confusing. And I think that the people deep down, you know, I think Tom makes a good point. People say to him, you know, how can I get fit? I think they know what the answer is. I would assume we all know what the answer is. You know, no one needs to tell me that taking the stairs is better than climbing in the elevator.
Yeah.
You know, eating, you know, green leafy vegetables is better than eating the sugary donut.
Right.
You know, but I think we hope against hope that one answer, somebody's going to say, yes, it's the dozen donut diet and you're going to lose 1,000,000 pounds.
Right.
You know, it's just, but it's very confusing. We're inundated. You know, if we can't make the simple... if we can't give ourselves the time we need to look at our intentions behind an act.
Right. Before an act.
I mean, look at everything that's going on in our lives.
Yeah.
From the minute we get up to the minute we put our head on the pillow, we are being inundated, just inundated with stuff that's pulling us in 1,000,000 different directions.
Pulling us, selling us into things, telling us we're not worthy, we don't look good enough, we need this in order to be, you know, to look good, to act, you know, to, we look ugly, we need this, we need that, all day long.
So it's virtually almost a one step forward, two steps back kind of thing. You know, we know that we're trying to make a step forward, but we're getting kind of bombarded with stuff that kind of pulls us back from that authentic intention.
Well, I think that's wise understanding. I think this is not easy. What we're talking about is not easy. Even though, like we talk with Tom, it's so obvious and it's simple, but it's not easy. Because we've got challenges all day long to do and to act in a non-authentic way.
Well, it's
that's true. The truth.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So, what are we going to do about it?
Well, what's the call to action? What do you think? What can we do as a simple, almost homework assignment, or what do you think?
I'm a firm believer, and in my practice is work on the edges of successes and push those boundaries. If you try to attack everything, you know, I'm a strategist. If you try to attack everything, it never happens.
Oh, it's overwhelming.
You fall right
on
your face.
You can.
So I look for the things I'm doing well, and then I try to build from that point. You know, what choices am I making that are good choices, and how can I build from that? And I don't try to do a whole lot every day. I used to, and then I used to feel really lousy about what I accomplished because mm-hmm. it was never good enough.
Right.
That was my tattoo to me. Buddy, you're never good enough.
Right.
The way I've turned that around is just like the choo-choo train. Work on the little edges, and I have confidence that the stories Ian and Tom are talking about, our practices that you and I have shared with each other, that it's not an instant fix, is it? None of this is instant.
No.
It takes time.
It does. And I was thinking that I guess we should kind of give ourselves a free pass. If we don't do it every day, that's okay. You know, if we don't do it 6 out of 7 days, if we do it at least one day, or if we see our intentions for an authentic thought, word, or deed, you know, during the week, that's got to be worth something, no?
Oh, it is. I mean, I think it is, but I don't think you have to get really overly hepped up about making all these changes at one point. Now, you never would have heard me say that 20 years ago, Carol.
Absolutely not.
Okay, but I'm a man that's tried a lot of things and have realized that, you know, it takes a little bit at a time. And you've got to build on your successes, surround yourself with people that are doing it like you are. I mean, I've already been told by people, admirable friends, that since we now have a second night, that's already helped their practice. So there's no special thing there. It's just that if I bring my awareness that other people are doing it, and I want to be able to talk about my successes too, just like Tom and Ian did.
Right.
You know, it's... We all can do this. There's nothing special about changing our lives. It just takes that resolve, that determination we talked about in lesson one, that this is the kind of life I want to live. And it's the most important thing to me there is the search for reliable happiness. When that becomes your, and this is really going to answer your question. I hope to answer your question.
Okay.
Because you're looking for call to action. I'm going to step back and say, as long as your little things are in the context of the big picture, the big picture is saying, this is more important to me than anything. Just like you said, I want to live authentically. I want to be reliably happy. Now that gives context and meaning to your life, and as you get you to ask all little questions, why am I doing this? Does it lead me to stress or does it lead me to happiness?
Mm-hmm.
See, because you asked the first question. You used your human desire to say, this is the kind of life I want to lead.
Absolutely.
So I think that's most important for our listeners is to take the time to really investigate reliable happiness and say, is this the life I want to lead? Is this what's most important to me? And you know, it's a great exercise, Carol, to do that.
What's
that? To write your eulogy.
Oh, I've heard this, yeah.
Just sit right down and write out, as if you had died, what are people saying about you? Right?
What
look what we're saying about
behind?
Tom
what
and
kind
Ian
of imprint
right now.
You want to leave?
What would we, if Tom and Ian were to die, what are we going to say about them? We're going to say one was honest and he was committed to being honest, right, to himself. So there's a lot for Ian and Tom to be proud of. based upon their actions. Right? So we all, each one of us in the confines of our own mind, I think, have to spend that personal time. What is important to us? Because so often that question usually comes with what's important to me is I want to be the vice president of this, or I want a car. That's what's important to me right now. And we put our goals down, and we've never really said intrinsically what's most important to us.
Right.
So that thing...
Right, because the outer happinesses are fleeting. They're going to come and go. Yeah. So the inner one. And it's never too late. It's not too late to start on the journey to reliable happiness.
Well, we're getting ready to close our show, but what I want to do is I want to leave you with remember the City Slickers, the movie?
I do.
And remember that guy, Shorty, the big... What was his
name? The old season.
What was his name? Jack something or other.
Palance. Jack Palance was the actor.
And he said that he looked at that guy before he died and he put one finger up. And he says, what's the one thing? You find out the one thing that matters in your life and you do everything associated with that one thing. And my challenge is I want to be reliably happy. And from that, all the good decision making, I believe, will flow. The call to being quieter, the call to being more mindful, the call to being more honorable, the call to being more honest, more grateful. All of that, because if you want to be reliably happy, which basically means I want to feel fulfilled inside, then you're going to have to build these mind qualities that we cover every week. You'll figure it out. Each one of us will figure it out.
I agree.
So with that, I'd like to...
Can I just interject? If someone didn't get to call in, they can email us. Do you want to give
email Buddy or Carol? Actually, hello@admirablefriends.org. Admirablefriends.org, a nonprofit organization based out of Texas. And we are getting ready to sign off. Thanks, everybody.
We really appreciate you
appreciate
all taking the
calls
time to be with us tonight. We look forward to hearing from you during the week at hello@admirablefriends.org or tuning in next week.
Yeah, and make authenticity top of the list this week.
We want to hear authentic experiences.
Start next week with your authentic experience.
Okay.
All right. Bye-bye.